a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We've been given peace from God, peace within, peace with others, and peace on earth. This Advent, embrace the gift of peace through Christ.
With that voice, don't you just feel peaceful already? So relaxing. But I was thinking about how many of you already feel stressed out about the holidays? Be honest, it's church. Yeah, right? Some of you already feel this. You're sensing the like stress build. You're already behind. You're already tired. You've already eaten more than you're supposed to eat. I can see it on your faces. Like, I know that you're feeling this. And I was thinking about how we talk a lot about the gift of peace this time of year, that there's something about the Advent season that we want to believe that peace is possible, and yet it somehow seems so elusive. You know what I mean? It's like just out of our grasp. It's kind of like when my kids were little, one of them, I won't tell you which one, but Savannah always asked at Christmas time for a particular present. Like she had in her mind for years, she wanted one certain thing, and it was a horse. And she couldn't understand. We lived in the middle of Charlotte, North Carolina, on one of the busiest streets in the city. She just didn't understand how we couldn't get a horse and tie it to the tree in the backyard and just allow her to fulfill all of her dreams. She would ask for a horse for Christmas every year from my parents. She especially thought, like, if we're not going to do it or Santa's not going to bring it, for those of you that are there, that at least Grandma and Grandpa would do it. But it never happened. It was kind of like, you know, whenever you would go downstairs when you were a kid and there would be a present, like the big present, and you're like, oh, that's it. It's the thing. It doesn't even matter yet what's in there. You're just so excited to get the big present. You want to open that. And so much so that we sometimes miss maybe the even more impactful ones. Like something that's like this size. How many of you are planning to give a gift card to someone for Christmas this year, right? 84% of Americans give gift cards. We love to give gift cards. But Bankrate.com, NerdWallet, and Citibank all said that actually $23 billion of unused gift cards are floating around this country. So we like to give them way more than we like to open them and use them. And it's so incredible to me because there's so much power in this card. Like, no matter what's in here, the likelihood is I'm only going to get to use that for a little while. But this is like the gift that keeps on giving. Jelly of the Month Club, Clark. This is what you want. In fact, so much so, Jessica and I have been collecting gift cards over the years. There is everything in here from Carrabba's, Sephora. There's some Regal cards, Disney bucks. I haven't been to Disneyland yet, but we got these still hanging around. And so we realized that we had probably hundreds of dollars worth of gift cards. So we put them in this cool little bag that we wrote gift cards on. And in light of the reality of all of this unused stuff, we came up with a strategy. So here's our strategy. From now on, every time we have date night, we reach in here, and whatever the card is that we pull out, that's what we do for date night. It's a pretty good strategy, right? I'm so looking forward to our romantic evening at Ulta this next week. It's gonna be something. But here's the thing: we have so many gifts that go unused. The gift of peace is just like that. In fact, I'm going to start today with a story. You heard already a part of it read by our family for the Advent candle about a moment where Jesus is trying to explain to us how to have peace, that we can have peace, despite its elusivity, despite the fact that it seems slippery, despite the fact that it is the big present we all want and never seem to get, that it's possible. And we're going to spend the next few weeks trying to figure out how we might have this peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, peace within, and maybe even peace on earth. It's funny, do you remember whenever beauty pageants like Miss Universe, Miss USA was big? Do you remember when they would ask the contestants, like, what do you wish for most? What did they always wish for? World peace. It's funny, though, because world peace is something that rarely happens. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and put this slide up. It says this from Bits and Pieces, a little study about the history of the world. In the last 5,600 years, so in all of human recorded history since 3,600 BC, there have only been 292 years where there wasn't war. During that time, 14,351 wars, 3.64 billion people killed in war, 8,000 peace treaties broken, and yet we all wish for world peace. The night in question in John 14, we're going to read about Jesus, is in a moment that would be described as anything but peaceful. It's the last night that he's going to be on earth. He's gathered up with his friends in the what's known as the upper room. There's a place where they had gone to have the Passover meal. At this meal, he had begun to tell them a little bit more directly what was going to happen over the next couple of days. It was tense in the room. These folks who had been following him, trusting, believing that he was who he said he was, the one to bring peace, even the Prince of Peace. He starts saying stuff like, they're going to kill me. One of you is going to betray me. I'm going to be dead, but don't worry. Don't be afraid. I still got you. The disciples are scared out of their minds. There's this weird sense of something is not right here, Jesus. You keep saying don't be afraid, and yet you're telling us that you're about to go to a cross to experience an unjust trial, to be convicted of blasphemy and executed, and you think we should have peace? Here's what he says, John 14, starting in verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. All these things. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what you can trust. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you all things, everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Here it is again. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father. That's strange. For the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Out of 5,600 years of human history, 5% or less have had some sort of peace. And yet Jesus tells us that peace is possible. And the question that I have, and maybe the question that you should have, is if you read this and you are one who's predisposed to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what he said he was going to do, and that he is the Son of God, you have to ask some questions. Maybe, Jesus, you and I just have a different understanding of peace, right? Like we have the same vocabulary, but different dictionaries. You ever experienced one of those moments where you're both saying the same thing, but you mean something totally different? Because when we think about peace, right, we think about this idea of, well, plenty of money in the bank account, no fights with the family, perfect health, a job that's fulfilling and we can see the path forward, nobody in conflict, the nation singing kumbaya and having a Coke together or whatever your generational version of national peace was. Do you remember? That's what we think of as peace. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a different kind. Now, what's crazy about the Christian faith is that as we read the scriptures unfold, as Jesus and then the other writers tell us about the future, we all know that we're moving towards a time when that kind of world peace isn't just possible, it's guaranteed. One day when he returns and he inaugurates his kingdom and he brings to us his full reign, there will be peace. We read these beautiful passages this time of year about how the lion and the lamb will sleep lie down together and take naps, and how there'll be no more swords or elements of war. They'll all be used for the flourishing of humans. This is where we're headed. But on this side of Jesus' return, our reality is very different. In fact, he would go on to tell us a little bit later, you are going to have trouble. I'm going to give you peace, but you're going to have trouble. But take heart, be encouraged, don't be afraid, because while you will have trouble in this world, I have already overcome this world. It's John 16:33. So here's what we got to try to figure out. What kind of peace is Jesus talking about, and how can we get a hold of it? Wouldn't you like a little more peace? Like, if maybe you could have some sense of peace over the next 3 weeks, wouldn't that be a pretty good gift for you? Here's what it says. Jesus, how does he give peace versus how does the world give peace? First, let's look at the world. The way that normally in human nature we get peace is through transactions. You do this, I do this, and we can have peace. As long as you continue to act the way I want you to, there can be peace in the home, let's say. Right? Any of you have college students that have returned in the last week? It's already kind of changed the dynamic a little bit, let's just say. You're so glad that they're there, but things are different now. Peace. What would it be like to have peace in your family? Sometimes when we think of peace, the way the world gives it, it's situational. As long as everything out there is okay, then I can feel at peace. But if anything shakes the foundation that I have tried to lay for my own life, well, then I'm not at peace. That's kind of fragile, isn't it? If your peace is dependent upon everyone else acting the way they're supposed to act, upon the universe cooperating with your plans for what you want to do, if your peace is dependent on anything outside of you, it is really shaky, isn't it? And yet we still keep going back to this idea. Maybe this year I'll have peace. Jesus gives peace differently. He says he gives peace that lasts forever, that doesn't require you to do anything. It's not situational. In fact, it's a sense of peace despite the situation around you. Jesus' peace, ultimately, is his presence. That's what he says. I am going to be with you. I'm going to send the Spirit to be with you. My presence in the middle of your trial will be the thing that brings you peace. In fact, here's the definition that I think you could take a screenshot of or write down real quickly. The Jesus definition of peace is a fixed focus and well-established trust, not in the absence of conflict, but in the one who is with me through it all. This is the kind of peace that he gives. You remember when you were a kid and you would have those nights where you were scared? And there might not be any reason why you were actually scared, but it's something under the bed or something in the closet or a sound, and you were just afraid in the dark. Do you remember what that felt like? And you remember if, like, mom or dad came in the room? They didn't necessarily get out the flashlight and show you under the bed that there's nothing there. They didn't open up the closet and guarantee you that there's nothing hiding. It was simply their presence in the darkness. And it provides peace. This is what Jesus says he can give us if we'll cooperate, if we'll allow it. In fact, if we'll, and I'm going to use a word that nobody likes, if we'll surrender. Because peace from God requires us to have peace with God. I'm going to show you through this passage of Scripture really quickly, just three ways. But before I show you those, there's this quote from C.S. Lewis, and he says this. He says, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. If you want to have peace, you find it only and always with God through Christ. The reconciliation, the reconnection, the establishment of a relationship with your Creator is the way that you will have peace. Everything else is just a sorry attempt, an infrequently delivering attempt to have peace. Here's the way we receive peace based on this passage. First, how to have peace from God. We get peace through the words of God. In 14:25, Jesus said, if you remember, the Holy Spirit will recall to you these words. And just before that, he said, if you love me, you'll obey what I've told you. So here's my first thing, and I know this is going to push some of you a little bit, especially if you're not like a church person, like regularly, if that's not your thing, like you're checking things out. Here's what I will tell you. The way to do life that God prescribes is way better than your way. Have you realized that you're not that good at running your life? I hear nervous laughter. We're not. The way that God prescribes, the way that Christ shows us, tells us to live, is a better way to live. If you're not experiencing peace in your life, the first thing I would say is to evaluate, are you living it your way or are you living it God's way? That's the very first thing. If you're doing it your own way, I promise you're not as good at God as God at God's job. You're just not. And so the beginning is that we evaluate our life and we say, am I doing the best I can to do life God's way with all of my life? Am I aligning to what he's already said? For most of us who are believers, most of us, you don't actually need more knowledge and content about God's word. You just need to obey what you already know. Whether it comes to how to get along with your spouse or your kids, whether it comes to how to handle your body or your career or your money, whatever it is, you don't actually need much more information. You need transformation. You need to be able to do and put into practice what you already know, and me too. And so that's where the second piece of this comes in. It's not just through the words of God, but it's through the work of the Spirit. That's where I'm going to camp for a second. And before I do, how many of you feel like you have a real solid grasp on the Holy Spirit? Okay, yeah, not many of us. It's because the Holy Spirit is this not often talked about, sort of enigmatic, very behind the scenes person of God. We believe in something called the Trinity, and I know that's like wild to try to wrap your mind around. It's hard for me too. I can't fully understand it, but here's what that means. We believe in a God who is one, but exists in three persons. There's a God who has different ways of interacting within himself. So there's God the Father, there's God the Son, Jesus Christ, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And we talk a lot about God the Father, and we love, especially this time of year, we're talking a lot about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's kind of like this, I don't know, this NPC, non-playing character, it seems like in the game, just kind of behind the scenes. And here's the thing, the power of the Christian life is found in the Holy Spirit's work in your life. It is so important for you and me. We can't do any of the things that God asks. We can't live any of the way that Jesus models or describes. We cannot live this life without the power of the Spirit. So I want to tell you a little bit about what that means. The work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the advocate will come and he'll first teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Now he's talking to the disciples, and I want you to think about this for a second. They didn't like take notes. They didn't pull up their voice memo on the phone whenever Jesus was in the upper room telling them the stuff and just record it verbatim. They had to come back later and write down the stuff that Jesus had said. All of the gospels, the biographies of his life, all those were written some years after. How did that happen? How can you trust what is written that that's actually the way it went? I think there's really good evidence. I think the fact that all of the scripture kind of works together, it doesn't contradict, there's good historical documentation for it. There's a lot of reasons humanly, that I think you can trust the scriptures. But here's the best one. Jesus said, when I am gone, the Holy Spirit of God is going to remind you of all this stuff. He's going to bring back to your memory what I said. He's going to put you back like in this moment. He's going to recall what it felt like in this room. He's going to remind you how scared you were when I said, one of you is going to betray me. But he's going to recall this to your mind so that you can learn. The Spirit of God is the reason that we have the Bible. He recalls those words. Secondly, he calls him the advocate. I love this, that you have God himself working on your behalf. Any of you ever had to get an advocate, like an attorney before? You've had an attorney that you had to hire. Don't tell me what it was for. But that's like, that'll get you out for a live scan out there. But you've had this experience where you needed someone to be your advocate. Maybe it was in school, maybe it was something legally. You needed someone that could speak on your behalf that had credibility. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is your advocate. He pleads your case. He reminds you of who you are in me. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life with power, comforting you whenever you experience a loss of peace. But it gets even better. The Holy Spirit actually creates in us the peace that we want. Here's why I say that. You remember in Sunday school? Any of you ever go to Sunday school? It's like, if you're not a church person, Sunday school is like our little version of indoctrination, you know? It's where we take kids and we teach them the Bible at a lesson, at a way they can understand, and we implant truth in them, and then we kind of sit back and watch as they grow up and they begin to go, oh, that's what that means. I mean, it's school on Sunday. Really original. In Sunday school, some of you learned this little song, and it was all about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember that? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, these things, the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God creates fruit. It's the product of his work in your life. It's not from you trying harder. It's not from a set of practices that you put into place. As much as I love all of the ways that we engage in discipleship and spiritual practices, the way that you have the fruit of things like gentleness and patience and kindness in your life is the work of God the Spirit in you. You don't make those your own. As much as I love you, as much as I am for you, you are just like me and we're a disaster. But the Holy Spirit works within. And here's what I think is interesting about something like peace, about something like patience. The only reason that you need patience is because there are people that try your patience. Most of them have your last name. The only reason you need forgiveness is because there are people who do things that need to be forgiven, right? So our concept of peace, of course there's going to be difficulty. He promised right there, you're going to need self-control. Why? Because you're going to want to, you know, like somebody's neck. This is why the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And Jesus says this is going to produce, he is going to produce peace. So if you're not experiencing peace, I want to ask you to consider maybe it's just that you haven't been looking for it. Maybe it's like we said at the beginning, you didn't have the same definition of Jesus. You're thinking of no conflict, everything's perfect. But maybe you just haven't become aware or awake to the action of the Spirit in your life right where you are in the middle of your difficulty. I was talking with a friend this week, and he was telling me that he's been struggling with some stress and anxiety recently. Probably brought on by the Christmas season. And he was feeling like, man, I think every night I'm waking up at 2:30 in the morning and my mind is racing and my heart's beating fast and I have all this stuff. I can't get away from it. You know what he means? And he said, I wake up and he's a Christian, he's a Jesus follower. And he's like, I wake up and I just like let my arms open up, kind of push my wife away and just kind of let my arms open. I just go, okay, God, whatever you want. What do you want to say? It's like, I don't know anything else to do. I pray and I just have to kind of surrender. And it came to me right at that moment, like, I'm sure this was the Spirit of God in me. It was like, instead of seeing that as difficulty, could you see that as a gift? God is waking you up in the middle of the night to give you the best thing you could possibly imagine. Open time with him. When you're not distracted, when you can't do anything else, when you can't work on your own, you can't do it in your strength, he's waking you up to remind you, I'm right here. I wonder if maybe your difficulty could be redefined And whatever it is that you're experiencing right now that's making you feel a lack of peace, you could maybe choose to view it like this. God, what do you want to do with me in this? Jesus, how do you want to meet me in the middle of the pain? In what way do you want to speak reminders to me that you're here? Just like mom in the dark, you're here. This is what the Holy Spirit does in us. You remember that story whenever Jesus is with the disciples and they're on a boat, little fishing boat, and they're good fishermen. They can navigate the Sea of Galilee really well. And a storm comes up, remember, and it's like they're scared out of their minds, saying we're going to die. And you remember where Jesus is? Anybody remember what he's doing? He's asleep, like taking a nap. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? But you know why he's able to be asleep? He's experiencing the same circumstances that they are. The storm is no different for him than it is for them. But the reason that he is able to just rest in the middle of that is because he has the Holy Spirit within him. God, the Spirit, is in him already. Before Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit of God would come, and sometimes it would empower people for a task or a moment. It would come and show the way, but it never resided, never took up residence in a person. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, he says, now the Spirit's going to come live in you. The only difference in the disciples and Jesus in that boat was the residence of the Holy Spirit in his heart. And you can have the same thing. This is his offer. This is why he says, I'm going to give peace not like the world gives. I'm going to actually give you my presence through all of your storms. And I'm just thinking, like, what is your storm right now? Could you take a moment before I kind of wrap this up and just think, where would you say is the biggest storm in your life in this moment? Is there something you're uncertain about or you're fearful of? Is there a thing that just hasn't worked out? Like you keep wanting this, you're begging, waiting for that big answer to come. And it's just not, just hadn't come yet. Is there a place like that in your life? Because I think Jesus wants to meet you right in that spot. And I think today, if we can trust and rely on the work of the person of Christ, that's the third point, the words of God, the Spirit at work in you, and the person of Christ, he will meet you in that place, and he'll give you peace. And see, it's way better than just having your problems solved. I know that sounds like the thing that you really want. Just solve all my problems, God. But even better than that is to have him with you in the problem. That's a fixed focus. That's a trust that can't be shaken. That's not fragile. That lasts no matter what comes. So, I wonder this week if we could just pray this prayer. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song and try to retune, kind of reset our minds on the power of Jesus with us. But before, I wonder if we could go back and imagine that place that's difficult for you, that's robbing you of your peace. Is it a relationship? Is it school stuff? You nervous about what your major is going to be or who's going to accept you? You spent all this work trying to build a resume for college and it just feels like it's just not working. There's just no big answer. Is it the effort you've put into marriage and he's just not changing? She's just not changing? Is it the finances? Do you look and you have no idea how we're ever going to retire? Or we're retired and I have no idea how we're ever going to survive. This is going to run out. Friend of mine got diagnosed with ALS this week. And that is a tough, tough reality. And as we were talking about it, she said, but I still have peace. And I can't even tell you why. I was like, I know why. It's because the Spirit of God is in you. There's the power within you. to walk through this. I wonder if that's what you need today. Don't let the gift of peace be something that goes unused, thrown in a Ziploc bag, and saved for date night. Because here's why. Jesus, he's not worried. He wasn't worried about the storm. He wasn't worried about the crucifixion. He's not worried about your cancer. He's not worried about your kid. He's not worried about your future. It's not that he doesn't care about any of those things. He's just not worried. He's never worried. Because he's the Prince of Peace that says, let me take up residence in you, and you don't have to be afraid anymore either. So I'm going to create some space for us to just ask him to come and meet you in it right now. And maybe for you, the first time, you can surrender. You know how you get out of conflict? You know how wars end? When somebody surrenders. Maybe even today, the war that you're facing and fighting, he's allowing you to have a moment to surrender. Will you pray with me? Father, we want peace. We don't really know how it's possible. Because for some of us, we've been praying and praying and asking and trying, and we've been trying to fix everything the best way that we know how, and it just hasn't happened. And here we are facing one more round, one more Christmas. One more Christmas where the absence of that thing we want so badly, that big, beautiful gift that we've been holding out hope for, once we have that, we'll have peace, it still didn't get delivered. And God, I ask that in the middle of our disappointment, of our uncertainty, of our unsettledness, in the middle of our pain, that you'd come and you'd bring peace. For those that have never chosen to surrender, to lay down arms, to stop doing it their own way, Lord, I ask that right now, in this moment, this December march towards Christmas, this time of expectation and waiting would be waiting no longer for you to come and claim lordship over lives in this room and those watching online. God, would you move in power? Would you give us trust? Would you birth faith? And would you allow us to believe your words? Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. God, would you make peace with us through Christ? For those who have forgotten, because it's been so long and we've just forgotten what it feels like to lay down, to close our eyes, and to go to sleep in that place of trust and rest, I pray that you would give us this gift of your presence in it. Whether it's 2:30 in the morning wake-ups, God, whether it's that feeling when our hearts pound and our palms sweat and we don't know what else to do because we are completely gripped by fear and anxiety, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you come and would you set us free? Would you speak peace? Remind us that you're not worried. Meet us in that place. And Father, I ask that you would give us the ability by the work of the Spirit in our lives, to be people of peace. Help us to go through these next weeks, and not avoiding the reality, but with a new strategy that we'll be aware and awake to your work in us, to the moments when we should have been rattled, but we're just not. And we would say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would make that true of us, because in every place, in every part of our lives, Jesus, your name is above everything. Your power is above it all. And so we invite it into our lives today. It's in that name that we pray. Amen.